This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and today we live in a world where no one can take cybersecurity for granted. For example, it's not just big businesses that get hacked. 43% of cyber attacks target small business, putting many of those companies out of business in a matter of months. Joining us to discuss the dangers of online attacks and how to prevent them are senior cybersecurity and system security engineer with Modern Technology Solutions Incorporated, Dr. John Carls, attorney Jane Hills Shea, who leads the privacy and information security practice at Frost Brown Todd, Cincinnati BBB community outreach specialist Sandra Guile, and software architect and developer Dave Hatter. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dave, Jane, Sandra, and Dr. Carls, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Let's start with Jane. Jane, why should small businesses be concerned about cybersecurity? I mean, isn't this a problem that's more a big business problem than it is small businesses?
Absolutely not. The sad thing is that the small businesses are low-hanging fruit for some of these hackers, and they're perceived to be less secure, less attention, less resources to security, and as a result, they are easily compromised, and the hackers are going to target them. The other reason that they're attractive is that oftentimes they do business. They're a third-party provider to larger institutions, and so it may give the hackers a way in to a more lucrative source of personal information as well, because if they can get in to the service provider, then that gives them an inroad into. So the Target breach was a great example of that. The reason that they were able to compromise Target was through an HVAC contractor.
Really?
That had access to Target's systems.
So, Dr. Carls, that's one of the reasons that hackers want to go after small businesses is the access they can gain to other businesses?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, if you think about what happened with Target, you know, they were, you know, they're a large company. They have a lot of resources. They have a lot of funding to provide. They have the right, you know, things to put in place, firewalls and other security tools to have in place. But, you know, that wasn't where they were truly hacked. It was through the smaller business that they were utilizing to do some of their point of sales and some of their HV services that they were doing. You know, the smaller businesses don't have the funds and resources to apply cybersecurity. So they have the same amount of stuff, personal data, accounts, and that kind of stuff that they can, you know, have access to as well. And that's, you know, that's one of the challenges for the smaller businesses is being able to put those resources in place to protect their data.
How costly is this to small businesses, Dr. Carls?
It can be very costly because if they don't have cybersecurity insurance or any kind of protections in place, you know, trying to, you know, recover from an incident, they could go out of business. So that's very costly when you think about it, that they're no longer able to do business because when, you know, they have to pay up for those fees, that's all the money that they have saved up. So that's very costly when you think about it.
Dave, where do we stand? We're halfway through 2017, a little more than halfway through 2017. Have we seen a big spike in cybersecurity attacks this year?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mark. And I think by any numbers you look at, because unfortunately you get all these different sources with all these different statistics and so forth, you can look at just about any source out there and see that there's been a substantial increase. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find too many people you could talk to that don't know someone or know someone that knows someone that's been hit with this either through their organization or individually. You know, ransomware is on the rise. These sort of attacks are becoming increasingly prevalent, not only because the tools are easier to get. You know, kids can go online on the dark web, find these tools, download them for free, and basically become budding cyber criminals. And then you have organized crime and state actors who are out there perpetrating these kind of attacks for any number of reasons, not only just to wreak havoc or because they have some kind of political agenda, but because you can actually make a lot of money if you get the right data and know how to use it.
Yeah, and the whole notion of small businesses being more vulnerable, I'm wondering about your thoughts on that, too.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I don't know that I could add a whole lot to what Jane and Dr. Carl said. Your average small business isn't going to have the resources of someone like Target, although even when you look at these huge mega corporations, you
see
that—
They still get hit.
Yeah, they still get hit sometimes because of a disgruntled employee, insider attack, or because they have other folks providing services that are doing, you know, they're not following good security practices. But, you know, your average small business isn't going to have the kind of capital resources to make investments in high-end security. They're not going to have the internal staff. They're typically going to have to rely on some sort of external vendor or something. And I think probably one of the biggest problems is the fact that they're typically not going to have the education themselves to educate and make their employees aware of the ongoing changing nature of these attacks. Every time you turn around, there's some new thing out there. You've got all these new types of devices that need to be protected. Now it's not just the computer sitting at your desk. It's a tablet. It's a cell phone. It's you working from home. It's people on the road trying to use a notebook in a hotel where the Wi-Fi has been compromised. There's so many different attack vectors. The average non-dork like me doesn't know anything about this stuff and frankly doesn't want to, which I understand. You just want to do your job. So it's hard for these small businesses to even assimilate all this information and then keep their employees aware in any kind of meaningful way. It's a gigantic and very difficult task.
Well, see, I learned something new today too. I never thought of the idea that the small businesses could be a backdoor mm-hmm. to gain access to larger businesses.
It's almost like a mule situation, wouldn't you agree, Dave and
yeah,
Dr.
I mean,
Carls?
They want to, if they can get to my PC and my PC goes into some customer site somewhere and connects to their network, well, now they potentially have hit the jackpot because I might have some kind of privileged access that their systems aren't even looking for. You know, I'm a known quantity. They've given me access, and now viruses, malware, et cetera, can get in and do all kinds of nefarious things with privileged access.
Before the small businesses feel like they're totally overwhelmed, there are some very simple things that they can do that aren't costly. The FTC has an excellent small business cybersecurity guide that it's available on their website and provides, you know, some very helpful tips on training their employees, what to watch out for. So there are some simple steps that are very fundamental cybersecurity precautions that businesses can take, which don't require a large investment. The other thing, if businesses are an online business and so they accept credit card information for purchases of their products and services, their credit card companies require that they be compliant with the, it's called PCIDSS, data security standards, and provide assistance and guidance on what they should be doing with respect to their systems for, you know, meeting these data security standards. So, you know, those are two examples of things that businesses can do without, you know, having to invest a large amount of capital that can be very helpful, you know, in fending off. Because as we know, you know, the ransomware is a click on a link in an email
it's one little slip, isn't it, Jane?
Yeah, it is. Know? It is. And it's just learning to be vigilant. We were talking earlier about, and Dave and I were saying how we're kind of obsessive about getting emails and being very cautious about what's – and just little things in an email that seem a little bit off, that because we're in this business, you know, we're vigilant. But it doesn't take much to – train others to be similarly vigilant.
I just took my tinfoil hat off before I got here, Mark.
Yeah.
Got a little hat head going still.
It's out in the lobby. It'll be waiting for you.
Dr. Carls, what are some ways that people can be vigilant, especially when it comes to email? Like Jane was saying, it can be just a simple little thing. You see a link and it might have a familiar email address on it. You think, oh, so-and-so sent this to me. It must be okay. And you click on it and then, oops, you're doomed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the first things is trying to teach your employees, the appropriate cybersecurity hygiene to make sure that they understand, you know, not to click on links even, you know, or to understand that sometimes if you just hover, you know, the mouse cursor over it, it'll tell you where that link goes, and you can see that it's not the same as what it looks like on the text. So a lot of times they like to mask, you know, those links with a different hidden one, or they use the tiny URLs, which is, you know, a conversion, you have no idea where that's going to take you. So understanding and trying to educate, you know, folks about the vulnerabilities of emails, you know, also trying to install, you know, like a reliable antivirus, you know, complex passwords, you know, maybe use some encryption, you know, stuff like that, backing up your networks, and, you know, looking into the different various types of education that are freely available for protecting your systems. You know, NIST does a great job of putting out a lot of recommendations and guidelines for how to protect your networks and your systems. You know, they have the cybersecurity framework, which is you know, pretty easy to implement, kind of assessing your networks and your systems and putting some controls in place to help protect yourself and your systems.
And Sandra, the BBB is pretty concerned about this issue, too.
Oh, yeah. We've been ringing the alarm bell probably for about the last year. We actually came up with the Five Steps to Better Cybersecurity program, and we've actually partnered with NIST. We've been out in the community talking to businesses and consumers about the issues of cybersecurity, not clicking on malicious links and trying to keep an eye on your social media postings and try not to post those vacation photos when you're out on vacation so that way you let the whole world know that your home is wide open and that kind of thing. But it's interesting, too, because a lot of small businesses don't think that they're at risk. I'm a small business.
Why would anybody target me?
Why would anybody think about me? I'm slinging burgers. I'm making cakes. I'm making cookies and whatever else. I'm collecting customer information. Big deal. That's kind of the attitude. What we're trying to do is kind of change that shift in attitude of I need to protect this information because A, I can get into a lot of trouble with Jane if I don't. And B, people like Dave are going to have to, I'm going to have to call him in to say, okay, what did I do to screw this up? Or I'm going to be facing people like Dr. Carls, who's going to say, I can get to your stuff real easy.
Dave, how often is it a case of you're called in to fix something versus prevent something? In other words, how much of the business is after the fact?
When you look at smaller businesses, it's more often than not the case where they call after something's already happened because, again, they don't really understand the risk. And they think it's not going to happen to them. They're not big enough. No one's going to be interested in the kind of data that they have, et cetera. Although hopefully we've dispelled that myth in the earlier part of this conversation. So I think more often than not, you're not going to get the call until after something's gone wrong. And that's another big myth that needs to be dispelled here. In many cases, you won't even know something has gone wrong.
Right.
These folks have broken into your systems. They've got software surreptitiously hiding inside your systems. It's collecting data. It's doing who knows what. And this goes on. If you look, there's all kinds of statistics on this from people like Symantec that track this. You know, the average breach might go as long as 12 to 18 months before it's even detected. So who knows what's happened in that length of time, where your data has been exfiltrated to, et cetera. It's a huge problem. No business, no organization is immune to this. If we have time, I'll tell you a real-world story of an experience I've seen for a relatively small organization where there was an attack.
Go ahead.
Tried to, well, bottom line is, as some of you know, in my spare time, I'm the mayor of Fort Wright. The city clerk got an email that looks like it came from me. They used a technique called spoofing. We kind of talked about this already.
Yeah.
Looked like it came from my email address. You know, they harvest this stuff off the internet. There's all kinds of ways to get this, or you just randomly generate the stuff. But this was probably more of a spear phishing attack where it was directed to her. They asked her how much money was in our checking account. She replied to that. They sent another email wanting a wire transfer. Well, we don't do wire transfers ever. Mm-hmm. In the history of the city, I don't believe there's ever been a wire transfer, certainly not since I've been mayor. That, of course, raised her alarm bells, and she called me and said, hey, Dave, is this real? I said, no, it's not real. Don't do anything else. Stop immediately.
Right.
But, you know, we're a city with 6,000 people and $5 million budget. This is not exactly, you know, a mega corporation or a giant city where you could steal a lot of money. But let's just say perhaps there might have been $1 million in the bank. They potentially could have cleaned that all out had she not had the good sense to realize this was probably not legitimate. And again, this is a relatively small organization here. This stuff is happening every day to organizations of all sizes.
I guess when it comes to email, err on the side of caution.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And Mark, there's a human element too, because if you think about it, if you're a small business and you have a small customer base, there's a relationship there, especially if you've got regular customers that come into your shop all the time and they buy goods and products and services from you. You have their personal information. So what happens if that information is stolen? Now you have to go back to that customer saying, oops, I clicked on a link and I accidentally now gave that person, that hacker, that thief, your email information, your address, your name, your phone number. Where is that on the interwebs? What could they do with that? Plus, your credit card information is being compromised as well.
Well, it sounds like that exposes the business to a lot of liability, Jane.
Yeah, it absolutely can be, there's the reputational damage to start with, and mm-hmm. we saw what happened with Target and others. But on top of that, there's certainly the damages that they could incur to the credit card companies, to suppliers, or to whomever has been damaged. And that's why I like to, I don't like to talk about cybersecurity or information security without also talking about data privacy, mm-hmm. because it's important to approach it from the perspective that what information you have on your system or in your possession that you have collected, you should be protecting. You should be thinking of in terms of that being the private information of those individuals. And if you look at it from that perspective and you are aware of where that data is on your systems mm-hmm. at all times, if something happens, then you immediately know what data has been compromised. They call it data mapping. They know, right. you know, what data has been compromised, and you can control and contain the damage much more easily and more quickly.
Right. And the same is true for nonprofits, if you think about it. Especially in the time where we've got one hurricane that's already blown through and we've got another one that's on the way, people are giving their hearts, their minds, and their money, too. And all of that information is being collected, too. You have to be very cognizant of what you are collecting from those individuals. So you know there's probably some thief out there going, how can I get to that information?
Well, that's part of it too. Dr. Carls, it seems like as soon as you figure out what they're doing, these guys are pretty clever. They shift gears and they do something different. They keep changing strategies. I think we lost Dr. Carls.
Sadly, they're definitely like evil geniuses out there. You know, these people are very smart and very creative. As you mentioned, they're constantly changing their approach for these attacks. They get more sophisticated all the time. They're more difficult. Even if you are highly skeptical, they're more difficult to ferret out. You've got to pay really careful attention because, for example, you get an email that looks like it came from the printer in your office because you scan documents regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it might say that it came from an HP printer and you got a Xerox, but it looks more or less like what you're used to. Are you really paying that much attention? Or it might even say it came from a Xerox printer. You have a Xerox. Are you looking at the name to see, is this thing legitimate? My best advice, although I hate to be a Debbie Downer, is you just pretty much have to be skeptical all the time. You have to assume there are bad people. They're constantly trying to get to you. And anything you get that you didn't expect, if you have even the slightest dose of doubt, don't click on anything. Mm-hmm. Either delete it outright or you initiate contact with the organization that purports to have sent it to you and said, is this legitimate?
Yeah.
Don't click on any links. Don't do anything. You reach out to whoever it supposedly came from and ask, is this legitimate? You have to be responsible for initiating that transaction.
Do it through a Google search.
Literally go pick up the phone, type in the URL. There's all kinds of things you can do, but you just have to be skeptical.
What about the sites that are HTTPS and have a padlock next to them? Are those more secure, Dave?
They are, but, you know, you can get a fake certificate. Just because it's locked, just because it's got SSL enforced does not necessarily mean it's a legitimate website.
Okay.
So you are more likely to ensure that your data is secure in any transactions that take place with that website, but it's not 100% guarantee that whatever is on the back end of that thing is legitimate.
So your top piece of advice for security is be skeptical of everything.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
Put your tinfoil hat on, get off the grid, live in the woods. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
My top
piece of advice is to have a plan. Have an incident response plan. Know who you're going to call right off the bat when you discover it and have a plan in place.
Because it's going to happen, right?
I mean, it is going to happen, unfortunately.
Inevitably, well, my top of advice is to join us Tuesday, September 26th.
Yeah, tell us about Unhackable. Well, it's got a great title, too, Unhackable.
Unhackable. It is a BBB small business event for small businesses, and it is Tuesday, September 26th at the UC Blue Ash Muntz Auditorium. It is 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. You've just gotten a small sampling of just what might happen. It is a panelist discussion talking about cybersecurity for small businesses, featuring Dr. Carls, Jane, and Dave. And we also have Tim Reddick as well joining us on this panel discussion. And we're talking about practical ways that you can implement a plan at your place of business or a nonprofit. 4 p.m., the doors open. We will have dinner by the bite. We'll have resource tables available for you to gather up information, including a template of a cyber plan that you can implement at your place of work, how you can talk to your employees about being skeptical, We'll be handing out note cards. You can write down any question that comes to mind regarding cybersecurity and how you can get your employees on board. The doors will then open to the auditorium at 4:45. We'll call the panelists up. We'll get the program started. We'll get rolling with a lively discussion, as you can tell, which it will be. I'll be moderating the event as part of BBB. And then we'll conclude it by about 6:30.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Carls, we're getting the top piece of advice from everybody on how you deal with cybersecurity issues. So I'm wondering if you would give us what your top suggestions are for protecting your online data.
Well, I mean, one of the things that the small companies, like we had talked about earlier, is that they don't have the resources and they take for granted that they rely on some of the other businesses or larger enterprises, and that they think that you know, they have protections in place, like they'll use a commercial or a online web account and stuff like that. They think those are protected. So, you know, like talking about being skeptical, use a complex password, you know, try and put a plan in place, and not only that, but educate your folks, your employees, to make sure that they understand all the different security requirements, and to be cautious, because the information is out there, even for the the script kiddies that we call script kiddies that can run download tools and run them against your stuff. You know, if they're not trained to look for that kind of stuff, they may not know what's really going on. So trying to stay up to speed is a challenge, but you want to stay educated as best you can, and look at the various locations for like NIST and some of the other cybersecurity training events that are out there. There's many different events to get involved with in the area. And maybe bring in a consultant or somebody to help give you some guidance or recommendations to secure your systems.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. Senior Cybersecurity and System Security Engineer with Modern Technology Solutions Incorporated, Dr. John Carls. Attorney Jane Hills Shea, who leads the Privacy and Information Security Practice at Frost Brown Todd. Cincinnati BBB Community Outreach Specialist Sandra Guile. And software architect and developer Dave Hatter. If you'd like more information about the BBB's upcoming event, Unhackable, you can find a link to that at wvxu.org.